Kennedy and the work he's doing up there. And they had a preacher's conference up there. And called a preacher from the floor, and I was called to preach. And there was about four or five sermons, little sermonettes, I guess, that was given. And then we ate. Everything was going so well and good. And then Tuesday morning, come back around. And the plague of death struck. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it's just the week that you go back home or go back to Tennessee and you load up another box truck. And it's been a rough journey. It's been long and miserable. So I'm sorry y'all got to listen to my sorry carcass drag around and try to give you something helpful today. But I'm going to try to. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad the Lord counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, as Paul said. None of us are worthy, including you, including me. But it gives us an opportunity to serve Him. If we'll just get out the way and let God do His thing, something wonderful can happen. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says, let me get you to stand to your feet and stretch your legs just for a moment. Some of y'all hate that, but some of you don't mind as much. Ephesians 6:10, if you're there, give me a fundamental Baptist amen. Let's read out loud together from our King James. Begin. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That'll be fine right there. I should have given you a stopping point. Very good. I want to talk to you today on the subject, your spiritual battle. Some time ago, we preached on your spiritual ladder. And the Lord really blessed, I think, in the preaching of His Word there. I certainly would expect Him to, as we talk about an equally important doctrine of the Bible, your spiritual battle. You're in a fight.
Right.
Whether you realize it or not, you're in a fight this morning. You're in the ring. And you're not wrestling against your kids. It's not a battle against your spouse. It's a battle between you and sin, Satan, and spiritual darkness. Let's pray. Father, ask that you'd help us. Help us to be the Christians you want us to be. Lord, help us to be the fighters that you want us to be. Lord, help us to be the Christians you call us to be. We've got to have your help this morning. In Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul was writing the book of Ephesians here. We did do a little discussion about the church at Ephesus some time ago. We did, I think it was last Sunday night, I preached on the book of Revelation, chapter 2, the church at Ephesus, and some of you were here for that. Tonight I'm going to go back to Revelation, and we'll talk about the church at Smyrna, one of my favorites. It's a good church, they have a good report, and I want you to be here. We'll talk about the dependable church in tonight's message, but God willing, the Lord continues to lead you guys in that way. But the books of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon are sometimes referred to as prison epistles. Somebody say prison epistles out loud.
Prison epistles.
Since they were all written during Paul's Roman imprisonment. We see in the record of the Bible that Paul talks about being in prison and being in bonds. In chapter 3, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Sometimes being the Christian in the world that God has called us to be, is going to go against the grain of the world, and you're not going to be popular, and you're not going to be the favorite person in the school, and you're not going to be the favorite person at your job. Sometimes you may not even be the most beloved person in the church that you're a member of, because being a Bible-believing Christian sets you apart. It makes you a little bit odd. They crucified Jesus. What do you think they're going to do to you and me as we follow the Lord? The closer you and I get to the end time, the more difficult I think it's going to get to be the Christian God has called us to be. It's going to come a time where the preaching is not going to be able to preach against abortion. It's going to come a time where you can't preach against being homosexual or lesbian or changing the natural part of your body. Amen!
Yeah.
There's going to come, y'all don't do it, I'll say amen to it because I know it's true.
Right.
And there's going to come a time when you can't talk against alcoholism.
Okay.
And there's going to come a time where you can't preach against sin. I tell you, I was reading some comments there. My brother was asking, I don't know if he's been saved or not. I guess he has. He called himself a preacher. He was on some kind of forum there, and he said that a church that he was a member of had some kind of all these problems with him because he started talking about sin. I'm sorry, man, but this Bible says it, and we've got to be faithful to
that.
I mean, what do you expect? That just don't make no sense. I've been bad. I've done bad things, Matthew. I wasn't the most upstanding civilian when I was in high school. You know, I wasn't the most role model Christian. I was saved, and I respected the Bible, and I tried to make it to church. Well, I was a preacher kid. I had to go to church, but I got my car. And then when I was at license, Mark, I was in church, and I was doing stuff in the church. I was helping in the music stuff. I respected the preaching. I respected the Bible. I respected the God. But I knew when I was not living right. I knew I wasn't living right. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? I still knew where the standard was. Does that make sense what I'm saying? I never got so low down and sorry that I hated the preacher when he started preaching against stuff that I was guilty of. That just didn't make no sense to me why people do that today. But we're living in days where it's going to get more and more challenging to be the Christian God called you to be. But that's no marvel. Jesus said, marvel not if the world hates you. He said, because it hated me first. So I want to, first of all, as I'm following God's leadership in the preaching this morning, I want you to follow God's leadership as you listen. God wants you to make a decision this morning that you're going to live for Him. He wants you to quit mealy-mouthing this thing. He don't want you to scoot around the plate, amen. Put all that stuff on the plate. Decide you're going to eat these potatoes, amen, praise God. Decide you're going to eat them macaroni and cheese, hallelujah, thank God, amen, brother God. It's getting good now. Decide you're going to eat that piece of meat laying on that plate. You're not going to separate everything. Hey, it's all going to the same place. Sometimes when we're little, we'd like to watch the old people eat, Brother Stewart. Them old people just put all that corn and mix that green bean together, mix all them potatoes together. Now my daughter, boy, that's a sin of blasphemy. You don't want nothing touching this, nothing touching this. Well, I remember one old timer, he knew we was cutting up on him, and he said, it's all going to the same place. That really revolutionized my thinking. So now guess what I do? I just mess it all in. Brother, when we go out to have dinner somewhere, I don't put a little quarter here, a little quarter there. I just have a minimal size plate. This plate is not big enough. So Matthew, what you got to do is you just got to start stacking it. Amen. Somebody say praise God. Hey, put that mashed potato on there and then just add, if the corn gets on it, even the better. It gives you more room to add something else. And then when you got five things on your plate, then you can start piling it and look like a small mountain by the time you go back to your seat. Amen. You and I need to decide we're going to just eat everything on the plate. Amen. We're going to be a full-blown, all-out, fire-breathing Christian for God. Amen. I'm not going to ask and vote on it. I'm not going to get permission on it. I'm going to live for the Lord. The world is not going to tell me how to raise my children. I'm going to follow the Bible on how the Bible tells me to raise my children. Somebody say amen right there. I'm not going to listen to what the world is telling me to do in terms of living for God. I've already decided a long time ago how I'm going to live for God. And you need to decide this morning how you're going to live for God. We're going into 2020, and we don't need to be milling around here. We need to decide how we're going to live for the Lord this year.
Right.
We need to determine the kind of Christian life we're going to give to God this year.
Right.
Are you going to tithe this year, or are you going to keep thinking about it? Are you going to be a soul winner this year, or are you just going to keep thinking about it?
Right.
Are you going to be faithful to Sunday school this year, or are you just going to keep thinking about it?
Amen.
Hey, am I preaching this morning?
Amen.
Are you going to lay off them? Are you going to lay down them drugs this year, or are you just going to keep thinking about it? Are you going to throw out all the liquor in the house, or are you just going to think about it?
Amen.
Hey, I'm preaching this morning. Isn't that good? God, what are you going to do for the Lord this year?
Right.
Are you just going to think about it? Are you going to do something? You know what? Sometimes I'll ask my wife, honey, what would you like to eat today? That's the dumbest question I could ever ask. That's the stupidest question. And you know what, Brother Harlan, I've been married for some 15 years. I've dated her 2 years before. Listen, I still ask the dumbest question. It's the right thing to do, but it never pans out. Never. I still don't know if there's ever been a time, Brother Kevin, where we've actually, she'd come up with a good, reasonable response. She won't put anything, and she does. And this is just the truth, and I'm trying to draw to her attention, but this is how they are. Amen.
Amen.
Honey, where do you want to go? Any place that your heart desires. Well, we can't do this, and we can't do this, and we can't go here, and I don't like this, and I don't want this. And I say, well, how about over here? I don't want that. You know, and I try to tell her, we joke, and sometimes it's funny, other times it's just, why do I ask? But you still got to be a good gentleman and ask, right? That's the right thing to do. Be a gentleman about it. And we always go where we agree to go. It takes a long time sometimes to agree to where you're going. Though my question about that is this. Some of you all are just, you're thinking too hard. What are you going to do this year, friend? You going to live for God, or are you going to think about it? Does that make sense? Are you going to start reading the Bible regular this year? You're just going to think about it. You want to have a relationship with God that you had last year? Ha! Are you just going to think about it? Hey, are you going to sell out for God this year? And you're going to burn a trail of fire for God this year? Are you going to pick up your cross and deny yourself this year? Are you just going to think about it? Amen, preacher. Do you want to preach with the power of the Holy Spirit, Pastor? Or you just want to mill around on this thing and think about it a little while and think about this? Are you going to do it? Well, Lord, I want to do it. Well, you're going to have to pray hard, and you're going to have to live a holy life. You're going to have to be a man of purity. You're going to have to be a man of holiness. You can't hold hands with sin and try to hold hands with a thrice holy God. Somebody help me preach this morning. Are you going to do this thing, or are you just going to think about it?
Right.
Now, I want you to stop thinking about it. We're Americans. We don't think, we do. Amen. And if you're not American, well, welcome to America. We have a way that we do things around here, the American way. Amen, Brother Mike. It's called the Constitution, you moron. That's what it's there we're in agreement on is the Constitution. Right? Isn't that what it goes? Am I talking heresy? Lord have mercy. There's going to come a time where a preacher can't say anything about that either. So, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What is the word wiles? It means the tricky attacks, the craftiness of the devil. You know, Satan don't sit next to you with a pitchfork and his forked tongue coming out of his mouth like some wild lizard in clothing, red clothing. And he don't sit next to you and say, "Hey, I'm the devil. I want to have a conversation with you." No, that's not how it works. This is how Satan works. If you don't like it, then just put your head buried in the sand or something, because you don't understand reality. I'm going to tell it how it is.
Amen.
This is how it works. The devil sees you, shows you your best friend out there smoking weed. As a young person, and he said, "Everybody else is doing it. Well, the law makes it legal in all these other states. Isn't it bad? It ain't wrong. Everybody else is doing it. Ha! Come on now." And they're over there taking Grady's pain medicine, doing all this kind of sin over here, and nobody knows about it. Mom and Dad, what mama don't know don't hurt her kind of philosophy there. And Satan always tries to come in with wiles,
right.
Craftiness.
Amen.
He's subtle.
Right.
He offers it on your cell phone when okay, but you and God. Hey, man, I know I'm preaching it this morning.
Amen.
And what happens is you start flipping through there and you're seeing things that you ought not be seeing. And it's the devil saying nobody knows. If mama don't know, it don't hurt her. Matthew and Ty, you better protect your eyes, boys. This world is out to get you and your mind from God.
Right.
He wants to steer your mind. Young ladies, y'all be careful looking at all them fantasies. Where's my daughter? I'm going to preach the devil out of her too. We listen to all these little romantic Disney stories, and some of that stuff's cute and fine and well. But you ladies are just as wicked as any other boy out there. Amen. Some of you still have a lust after Elvis Presley. And you need to get right with God about that. And you know that's the truth. Amen. I listened to Elvis Presley this last weekend. He's a good singer, I think, a lot of his songs. What's that little song we were listening to? Something about the river, the bridge and the river water runs under it. Protect your minds.
Right.
Why? Because the devil is out there, the Bible says, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Right.
I'm just weird. I get that. I understand that. How many of y'all ever watched them animal shows where they got the little water buffalo or the wildebeest or something like that, and you see them cross over that little creek or that river, and you think, you are just so stupid. What are you doing? Do you not see that fat-headed crocodile right there? Are you that big? You know, you just almost want to cuss at it. And sure enough, one right after the other, one right after the other. And then that big mouth just boom. And you watch the thing. How many of you will actually continue to watch it suffer and die? And it hurts, doesn't it? But you watch it, and then next thing you know, you're watching other ones because you get sucked into it. And part of you is like, why am I watching this stuff? This is painful. And you have bad dreams about animals killing you and drowning your children. That's what happens. I've had so many bad dreams of bears eating my kids, my wife jumping in the water with crocodiles. I mean, just in dying. I mean, it's terrible, the things I've subjected my brain to. But these predators, they don't stand there wide open. They hide. A leopard is a tiger as huge and powerful and as violent and as deadly as that creature can be. You never see him coming, honey. Amen. You don't go out in the world and say, Oh, I believe the devil just beat me in my throat and took my testimony away. Oh, what is that? Yeah, that's how it happens. It's like coming into Sunday school, going into the choir, going on to the visitation ministry somewhere. Hey, getting involved in the ministry somewhere. Something rubs you wrong. That is not an accident. That is the devil trying to get in your head. Hey, man, protect. That's the devil trying to get in your mind. He's trying to get in your family. He's trying to get you out of church. Well, I didn't like the way they approached that. Well, we're all brothers and sisters. Amen. And that's the way it ought to be. We're family. We're brothers and sisters. The Bible says to put up with one another, forbear one another, be not consumed one of another. One day I'll go through and maybe do a series of sermons, and we'll just look at all the one another's of the Bible. It says love one another, pray one for another, exhort one another. So many things we should be doing. Listen, because Satan is doing everything possible to tear us apart. And he doesn't need to stand on the front row and say, hey, I'm Satan. I want to destroy your family. Let's have a talk. No. He can use somebody sitting in your seat on Sunday to do that. He can use somebody taking your parking spot to do that. Amen. The preacher misspelled your name in the church bulletin. God bless him. I'm going to leave the church over that. Isn't that ridiculous? It's ridiculous until it's you. Then it's a big deal. I don't know of any, nothing. I don't know where this is coming from. And I'm not on pain medicine or nothing, I promise. I am preaching sober-minded, I promise you this. But as my responsibility as your pastor, as the under-shepherd of this flock, it is my responsibility to encourage you to take your responsibilities seriously with God. Know that Satan is after you and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy you, and he uses tricks of the trade. Discouragement, depression, setbacks. It's amazing the little things that you reflect on in your own Christian life. How many of you have been saved for over 10 years? Would you raise your hand? You've been saved over 10. Okay, that's the majority of the folks in this room. If you would stop and look back at the times where you sort of relapsed, got sidetracked. Amen. You made a minor thing, a major thing, and it really was harmful to you. Right? You see what I'm saying? Something that was really little, and yeah, maybe it wasn't so that great, but you made it something big. You know what I'm saying? Y'all getting what I'm saying? And what happens is it just destroys your, you ain't praying anymore. You're not living for God like you should. Your everything's just sour because of how you reacted to something. Y'all get what I'm saying? Do you see how Satan was in that? So we need to be careful of his tricks and understand that sometimes it's not just our flesh and it's not just sin and it's just in general. It could be the wiles of Satan outbreaking like an epidemic plague in your life. So be on guard. Be vigilant, the Bible says. Be sober. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 12, for we wrestle not. That word wrestle is a present tense word. I wrestled in high school, Brother Rhodes, and I could take somebody's body and I could mold it into the shape of a ring gold pretzel. Amen. And I hated it when somebody would contort mine in that way and make me feel just like a little weak girl. We wrestle. This word wrestle, Paul was, you know, how many of us have ever heard of gladiators in the Roman period? Wrestling and boxing and fighting, that stuff's been going on long before Conor on the scene. We wrestle, MMA fighting and all that good stuff. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Christian, your battle isn't physical. Brother James, you're not fighting against somebody with the body. It's not somebody you can walk up and poke them in the eye and say, take that, devil. It's not a flesh and blood fight. You are not fighting against flesh and blood. It's not a fight that you can... Sometimes you think it's your husband, or you may think it's your wife, but that's not the real fight. You may think it's your kids, but that's not the real fight. And you may think it's your employer, or your walk with your job, or your loan, or your finances, and your loan officer, or whatever the case may be, but that's not who you fight with. You can't fight the enemy, if I understand war correct, until you know who your enemy is. You need to calm down, take a step back, stop attacking the people that aren't even the object of your enemy here. You're fighting the wrong people. Paul said, you are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but you're wrestling against principalities, against powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Brother Ty, Matthew, as long as you come to this church, boys, I'm going to preach to your heart. I am not here to present covering books and to talk about Mary had a little lamb. I'm here to tell you, you are in a fight. You want to live for the Lord or you don't want to live for the Lord. You want to deny yourself and take up your cross, or you don't want to deny yourself and take up your cross. There is no middle ground living for God. You're either on the team or you're not in it at all. Somebody say amen. I want to come beside you and tell you, you can live for the Lord. You can overcome sin. You can be victorious in the walk with God. You can have power with God. Amen. You can pull down the gates of hell in the name of Jesus Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So help me, God. I will preach the devil out of this world if I could. Old Billy Sunday said, I will punch it as long as I have a fist, and I will kick it as long as I have a foot. He said it when I'm fistless, and I'm footless, and I'm toothless. He said, I'm gunning to death until I go to heaven. Amen. That's the way I feel, praise God. We're not fighting against physical things. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual fight.
Right.
Have you been in a battle and gotten sidetracked and misplaced your aim, misaccused who the real enemy was? Oh, Satan is so crafty, ain't he? That old dragon, that old slew-footed beast. Oh, he's such a mean creature. I don't like the devil. He's not your friend.
Amen.
He's not going to promote you and treat you well and give you the happy life. The billboards show you partying on one screen and having all the beautiful boys and beautiful girls and friends. But they don't show you what's on the other side of the billboard.
Amen.
They don't show you the cancer. They don't show you the emptiness of life. They don't show you your career wasted. They don't show you that. They don't show you the suicide rate.
They don't show you that. Why not? They leave it up to the parents. And they leave it up to the churches. And they leave it up to the schools. And the schools don't deal with it. They can't. The parents just do the best they can. And they should. But at some point or another, you're going to have to realize as an individual child of God, you have your own spiritual battle, Brother Gary. Yours. Brother Cody, you have your own spiritual battle. We all have the same enemies. All of us have the same enemies. And here they are. I'm going to tell you what they are. Write them down. The world. The flesh. And the devil. Those are your three biggest enemies. Now, I'm looking at some of you. Brother Harlan, I think, let's see, let me get my spectacles on. Bonnie, I know if I know you a little bit. You can know a person. Now listen to me carefully. You know, just bear with me here. Stephen, I know what I could do to make you mad. Andrew, I know what to do to make you mad. Kenny, I know how to hurt your feelings. Sister Kimberly, I know you well enough to know how to hurt your feelings. Everybody in this room pretty much that I've gotten to know, I know how I could hurt your feelings. And I try to be very careful. Do you try to do that? I'm not saying don't walk around on eggshells. I'm saying here, are you respectful to how people feel in the church? Yeah, we should. We're a family. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
But guess who else knows how to get you out of here? The devil.
Right.
We all have a flesh. And in our flesh, the Bible says, well, it's no good thing. So we can't depend on our own, even our own thought processes. When we're trying to sort through our feelings and things like that, we can't rely on it. Because it's fallen. Decisions that we make, we should never make decisions just off of the flesh. Amen. My decision to come up to this church, man, you don't know how bad I wanted to get back pastor. I couldn't hardly sleep at night. It was driving me nuts. I just was not happy. My joy was in the Lord, my family, things of that nature, but there was something not right. There was something missing. And looked around and thought, we drove all over this place. We went to Panama, we went to Florida, we went to, praise God, I just felt called to go to Florida. And somehow, something was calling me to Florida. We went to the Keys, and we went and visited Sarasota. We went to, was in Tennessee, visited churches in Tennessee, churches in Georgia, I think. Some places in Kentucky. I just didn't feel anywhere called to go up north real, real bad. But there was this deep searching. God where? God when? God how? And I've had many, many opportunities. But if I would have made a decision just in my flesh, it would have been disastrous.
Right.
Both for my family and for me and for the church that I would have took on. I believe God preordained that I'd be your pastor.
Amen.
And that was, I believe that because I believe this book and what this book teaches. And I believe that you're not an accident.
Right.
You are a sovereign selection of God. He chose you from before the foundation of the world that you should show forth the praise of Him who had called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's how brilliant I believe God is.
Amen.
But you have an enemy and you have a battle, friend. And you need to make up your mind. Are you going to do this thing or not? Are you going to dance with us or are you just going to sit down on the side? Are you just going to think about it? That's a blunt preaching, but
Amen. But
we live in a country where you can do and think and process eternally. and seemingly get by. And it makes it easy to do that and bring it into the church. But God's people are people that are called and dedicated and committed people.
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to push on that button a little bit this morning and encourage you. Encourage you to find your place in God's grace. Get in that saddle. Amen. Strap that thing on. Get hold of that horn and that harness, and let's do this thing. Amen. That may be my new logo for 2020. Let's do this thing. Sister Andrew, I ask that you come. I have a couple things I want to take care of before I let you go. But I'm going to ask Andrew to play one verse in chorus of a song. And congregation, I'll let you stand to your feet at this time. An opportunity to pray, to use our altars right now before we